Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope that you are enjoying your Thursday as you are listening to us on Noon and Zone, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. On the show today, I'm going to have Columbus River Dragons forward and general manager Jay Krupp, and we've got a lot to talk about here on the show, including more conference tournament play. The Atlanta Hawks get a disappointing loss to the Portland Trailblazers. And we also had high school baseball for you on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. So let's go ahead and start the show. I'm going to start with high school baseball. Yesterday, Thrip Berger and I was at the campus of Columbus High School, and such a historic ballpark in Columbus. You see the backdrop with Columbus High School, the multiple championships, the retired numbers out in the right field fence. It was just a great experience. Central Columbus, it was a great game. Columbus went up 4-0. Central tied it at 4, and then Columbus took a 5-4 lead going into the top of the 7th inning, and that is where Central put up 4 runs. They get the 8-5 victory over the Columbus Blue Devils, and they pushed their record to 13-1 overall. The Central Red Devils, who went to the state championship last year, won the state championship 2 years ago, they look fantastic. 13-1. Columbus falls to 6-8. Columbus will take on the Carver Tigers this Friday. Big region matchup for both teams. And it was fitting that both teams have assistant coaches that were managers of the Columbus Chattahoochee and the Chattahoochee Monsters. I was able to run into Johnny Eaton, the manager of the Chattahoochee Monsters, and just appreciated all the work he did with the Monsters last summer. And then McClendon Hill, the bench coach for Columbus, was also named the manager for the Columbus Chattahoochee for this upcoming season. However, they have suspended operations. But I talked to him as well and gotten to know him as I was traveling on the road with the Columbus Chattahoots last year, as he was an assistant coach under Coach Steve Smith. And we've had a lot of fun, and it was just great to see Coach Hill again. Just a great matchup between two historic teams. When you think of the Columbus Phoenix City area, you think of their Little League teams, you think of the Phoenix City Little League team that went to the Little League World Series Championship in 1999 with the Rasmus brothers. And then you think of Northern Little League in 2006 when they won the Little League World Series. And, you know, you got 12-year-olds in 2006. You add 4 years, they're about 16 years old. They're playing high school ball. And it's not a coincidence that the Columbus Blue Devils won 3 straight state championships in 2010, 2011, and 2012. But overall, it was a good broadcast. We also had another broadcast on Georgia Alabama Sports Live as the Northside Patriots, they defeat Harris County 6-2. So far, they have got a 2-0 series lead in their 3-game series. They're going to be back at it at Harris County for the third and final game this week. And then St. Ampicelli, who lost to Brookstone on Tuesday 21-3, they will be at Brookstone for their second game. And then on Friday, we have Carver and Columbus, a doubleheader starting at 4:30. However, there is rain in the forecast, so that is something to watch out for. Hardaway is hosting Bainbridge. Shaw is on the road against Cairo. Spencer is on the road against Jordan. Hopefully these games don't get rained out. That's a lot of games on a Friday to go through. Brookstone is back at Dimel Field at St. Apicelli. Hardaway is actually hosting Bainbridge for a doubleheader that's starting at 4 o'clock. So hopefully they get these baseball games in. And if so, then I will be at Columbus once again calling the Carver-Columbus game on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. But I was checking the weather yesterday. It is still at 70% chance of rain, but will come into the forecast around 5 p.m. It's not supposed to rain in the morning, but maybe if they push those games a little earlier, they can try to get those games in. Anyway, hopefully they'll be able to get those games in. Saturday doesn't look like a whole lot of rain. They could move the games to Saturday. All right, let's talk March Madness. Selection Sunday is March 17th, this Sunday. I always enjoy watching the selection show, and I really enjoy the conference tournament play. And you got some upsets already. Kansas, one and done in the Big 12 tournament. I think that they have got to be a number six seed. You cannot reward Kansas just because the brand on their jersey. Kansas, a very disappointing loss in the Big 12 tournament to Cincinnati. A 20-point win by the Cincinnati Bearcats. Other games, BYU defeated UCF. TCU defeats Oklahoma. Kansas State defeats Texas. So in the Big 12 quarterfinals today, this game is already being played by the time this show airs, BYU and Texas Tech. Then at 3 p.m., you got TCU taking on the number one team, Houston Cougars. Kansas State taking on Iowa State. Cincinnati is taking on Baylor. They're looking like Kansas State, TCU, and Cincinnati are all bubble teams. Let's go over to the ACC tournament. Second round action, Florida State defeats Virginia Tech, 86-76. Wake Forest had no problem over Notre Dame, 72-59. It was NC State defeating Syracuse, 83-65. And Boston College defeats Clemson, 76-55. Clemson out of the ACC tournament. I still think that Clemson is a tournament team, but I think they drop down to a number six or a number seven seed. All right, quarterfinal action today in the ACC. The overall number one seed, North Carolina, is taking on Florida State. You have Wake Forest taking on Pitt. Duke is taking on NC State, and Virginia taking on Boston College. Let's move over to the Big Ten Conference tournament play as the first round games. Maryland defeats Rutgers 65-51, and Penn State defeats Michigan 66-57. So Michigan season's done. Juwan Howard is on the hot seat. I just can't believe what happened to Michigan. Michigan was a very good team that went to the championship game a couple of years ago, and then they have fallen off a cliff. But here is second round matchup in the Big Ten. Today, Minnesota is taking on Michigan State, who's considered a bubble team. Michigan State can still get into the tournament, even though they're 18-13. They're projected to be a number 10 seed, but that's partly name brand. It's also strength of schedule. Tom Izzo always schedules tough opponents. Maryland and Wisconsin. You got Ohio State and Iowa, Penn State and Indiana as Big Ten tournament play starts at noon. So it's kicking off right before this show begins. Big East. Let's talk some Big East. Xavier gets the win over Butler. Providence beats Georgetown. Villanova beats DePaul. So we got second round games today. UConn is hosting Xavier. Seton Hall is hosting St. John's. Creighton hosting Providence. Marquette taking on Villanova. Pac-12 tournament play in the first round. USC defeats Washington 80-74. Who wants to see Bronny James in the NCAA tournament? I know that that would be awesome if USC just had a better record. I would love to see Bronny James, even though he's averaging 5 points a game. USC has really disappointed a lot of fans. Remember when they were ranked in the beginning of the season. UCLA defeats Oregon State. I mean, UCLA, they really fell off this year. 16-16 after being a number two seed last year. They've always been a blue blood. Stanford beating Cal in overtime, 87-76. You know, Stanford, not the same team they were under Coach Mike Montgomery in the late 90s. Remember, they went to the Final Four in 1998. And in the 2000s with the Collins twins and, you know, Josh Childress. I mean, they've had some good players, and they have really fallen off. And then Utah, give me two. They defeated Arizona State 90-57. So here's what quarterfinal round matchup in the Pac-12 looks like today. At 3 o'clock on the Pac-12 network, Arizona is taking on USC. You got Oregon taking on UCLA. Washington State is taking on Stanford. Colorado is taking on Utah. In my opinion, looking at the Pac-12, maybe three teams get in, possibly four, especially if Colorado, who's considered a bubble team, does win a couple of games, and they got to at least get to the Pac-12 championship to impress the committee. And finally, you know, I saved the best for last. You know, we live in the South. WRBL's Jack Patterson's up there in Nashville covering this big event, the SEC tournament. It just means more down here in Georgia. We had first-round action, exciting first-round action yesterday up in Nashville. How about Arkansas? They get the 90-85 victory over Vanderbilt in overtime. And then in the nightcap, the Georgia Bulldogs, they defeat Missouri by a score of 64-59. And they end the game on a 12-0 run. Blue Kane with 19 points. Georgia's now 17-15. This is Mike White's second year as head coach. Georgia has really fallen off a cliff. They started 12-3. And this just tells you how tough the SEC is. I think they get at least 7 or 8 teams in this tournament. Here's what second round games look like. This game has already started, but since I'm recording early today, you got Mississippi State taking on LSU. Mississippi State is a tournament team according to ESPN's Joe Lunardi. Arkansas is taking on the 5-seed South Carolina. South Carolina is a tournament team. And then we got two bubble teams going at it. Ole Miss taking on Texas A&M. The committee thinks if Texas A&M does win at least one game in the SEC tournament, that that might be enough to impress the committee. We shall see. Ole Miss, a 20-win team, but their resume is not that impressive. They're not even considered a bubble team. So what does that tell you about Georgia? When Georgia was 12-3, they weren't even considered a bubble team because of their strength of schedule, but they needed to get some more wins. I always said the threshold was 20 wins for Georgia, and they could not get that. They take on Florida, a team they lost to twice, by the way, in close games. If Georgia pulls off the upset, I mean, that would really just speak volumes for their program. I don't think they're going to pull off a run like they did in 2008 because that was absolutely special. But we shall see. The teams that await the winners in the second round, Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, and Alabama. And we will have clarity by Friday to see who is going to at least get into the NCAA tournament. And the SEC tournament is always fun. And I can't wait to watch these games this weekend. Here are some of the mid-major teams that are going dancing next week. Let's start with McNeese State and the job that Will Wade has done. Absolutely incredible. They win 92-76 over Nicholls in the Southland Tournament Championship. And now the Big Sky Championship. Montana State defeats Montana 85-70 to finish the regular season 17-17. Montana had a 23-10 record going into this game. But Montana State wins the Big Sky for the third straight season. And they are going to the tournament. More than likely, they are going to be a number 16 seed, probably because of their record. Montana was the team that everybody expected to win the Big Sky. And I think that Montana is going to be out. I think they're going to at least get an NIT berth. But Montana is not going to the tournament. Usually when you have a mediocre team in the conference that pulls off a run and gets hot at the right time, somebody's bubble gets bursted. We saw that a couple years ago with some of these mid-majors that had some very impressive teams that had a big run. And a big shout-out to Jonathan Shushke, a.k.a. Buckets. He is the color commentator for Stephen F. Austin on ESPN+. I want to give a big shout-out to your team. They get a buzzer beater over Abilene Christian with seconds to go in the WAC tournament in the first round. Stephen F. Austin, they will be taking on UT Arlington next. That's 11:30 at night tonight. I am so excited about conference tournament play, as I did have my bracketology show. I'm also excited to talk about the women's game because we had the SEC final where South Carolina defeated LSU. I mean, they had the brawl and everything. I mean, I don't really want to talk about the brawl and what happened there, but we still have conference tournament play going on for the women's game. I'll break down those brackets as well next week. All right. Time for a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the NBA and what is going on with the Atlanta Hawks. I have no idea. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
We are back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, as we just continue pumping out episodes this week, because mainly because it's conference tournament play. I know that last year, right around this time, I was busy doing military training, so I can only do like 10-minute shows. I couldn't really go into depth with the conference tournament play. But just in case you're wondering, this is episode 808. You know, my goal is to get to 1,000 episodes. I want this. I want this more than anything. And I also feel that this has been a resume builder for me, that I don't have a producer. I'm the producer. I'm the one doing all of this. I've come up with just about everything for the Sports Beat when I started this podcast 4 years ago. And I'm just having fun. This is really something that I enjoy doing. I love the producing part of it, but I also love being an on-air talent as well. All right, let's talk NBA. I didn't really go into depth about the NBA too much yesterday because of March Madness and then the NCAA conference tournaments going on, but the Atlanta Hawks, which I thought this would be an easy win for them against a rebuilding Portland Trailblazers team up in Oregon, they lose 106-102. After having a lead in the first quarter, it's that third quarter where they don't make adjustments. You know, what does that tell you? When you get blown out in the third quarter, that tells you that you don't have elite coaching. You're not making adjustments going into halftime. And Portland just came out. Anfernee Simmons with 36 points. I mean, I look at Portland. They got DeAndre Ayton from the Damian Lillard trade. They got Matisse Thybul, one of the most elite defenders. Scoot Henderson, who's been a disappointment, the number two overall pick. And the Portland Trailblazers end up getting the win. DeAndre Ayton with 33 points. DeJounte Murray, who's really carrying the load in the absence of Trae Young, he is injured. He had 40 points. Sadiq Bey is going to be out for the whole season. Jalen Johnson didn't play in this game. The Hawks were really shorthanded. Bogey only shot 3 of 15. And the Atlanta Hawks, still holding on to that number 10 seed, they're going to take on the Utah Jazz this Friday, which the Jazz have always been very tough at home. They've got a tough road stretch because if they're not too careful, they could be rattling off some losses and they could fall out of the number 10 seed. Some of the other scores in the NBA last night, the Sacramento Kings just walloped the Los Angeles Lakers. They sweep the season series. They beat them at Sleep One Arena up in Sacramento, 120-107. And I got to tell you, this really feels good. Every time the Kings beat the Lakers, I feel good about myself because of the heartbreak from 2002. I bring it up all the time. But the Sacramento Kings is a bad matchup for the Los Angeles Lakers. I wanted to see this matchup in the playoffs, but the Golden State Warriors spoiled the party by Steph Curry getting hot in that Game 7. But Sacramento, Domantas Sabonis is a very underrated player. 17 points, 19 rebounds, and 10 assists. The Lakers did not have an answer for Sabonis. I just like the core of the Sacramento Kings. Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, De'Aaron Fox. They got some great players. Malik Monk coming off the bench. You got Kevin Huerter. The Lakers, I was looking at this box score and I'm thinking, who's out for the Lakers? They get blown out by Sacramento on a game televised on ESPN. And I was just wondering who's out. Everybody was in. Anthony Davis, 22 points. LeBron had 18. The only player that had a really good game was Austin Reeves. He shot 7 3-pointers. It really kept the Lakers kind of in this game, but the Kings still won by 13. D'Angelo Russell, he has been a topsy-turvy player. One day he'll score 44 points, and the next he goes 2-9 and scores just 6 points. Anyway, you look at the standings right now. The Los Angeles Lakers, they are a game above the Golden State Warriors. They are 2.5 back of that 8th seed. I think the Lakers are going to end up winning the play-in tournament for the 9 and 10, and they're going to get the number 8 seed. And they don't want to face Denver. Right now, Denver is rolling 4 straight wins. They are number 1 in the Western Conference. Minnesota is starting to trend down, and the Clippers have lost 2 straight. And hopefully, with Sacramento's win, they got the number 6 seed. They've taken that from the Phoenix Suns. I think the Suns have just been a disappointing team. And then over in the Eastern Conference, how about the Cleveland Cavaliers? They got the number 2 seed tied with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Knicks, the Magic, the Orlando Magic has got the number 5 seed. They just gave a contract extension to their head coach, Jamal Mosley. A 4-year extension. It's going to run through the 2027-2028 season as the Orlando Magic is trying to make it to the playoffs for the first time since 2020. Well, they made the playoffs in the bubble. I don't really think that counts. But the Orlando Magic, who really, without Shaquille O'Neal and Dwight Howard, they have been just a laughing stock of a franchise since they came into existence in 1989. I rooted for the Magic when I was a kid. And the Shaq and Penny years, making it to the NBA Finals in 95, and then the Dwight Howard years. I had a special on the Sports Beat a couple of weeks ago. Dwight Howard was voted, well, by me, the greatest player to ever come out of the state of Georgia. And he was just a dominant player for the Orlando Magic when they picked him number one overall in the 2004 NBA draft out of Southwest Atlanta Christian. Look, I know the NBA takes a back seat when we get into conference tournaments and March Madness, but I love talking about it. We even had the Players' Championship in golf, and I was listening to Sports Talk Radio on my way to work, and they were talking about how the LIV and the PGA Tour golfers only are going to be playing in the majors, and they're not even playing at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass down in Jacksonville. I mean, it feels like it's the fifth major, and then we got the Masters coming up in about a month, and so, you know, it's starting to become golf season, and I'm excited about that. We got Major League Baseball spring training going on. I mean, I'll give you some scores. I got you some scores. The Atlanta Braves, right now, they're 9-8 in spring training. You know, Bryce Elder picks up the win. They defeat the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles look great in spring training. I don't think they skip a beat. I think that the Orioles are going to be one of the top teams in Major League Baseball. As we get ready for that opener, March the 28th, as the Braves are going to be taking on the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park, 3:05 first pitch. I'm just going to come out and just guess the starters. I think that Max Fried is your opening day starter. And then for the Phillies, Zach Wheeler is going to be the opening day starter. Some of the players on the injury report, I mean, Ronald Acuna Jr. is listed as day-to-day. He should be ready opening day. Now, there's no question about that. I'm excited when we get to baseball season. I'm excited to break down the games. I'll even talk about college baseball on this show because the Georgia Bulldogs look like the best team in college baseball. I think that they get to the College World Series for the first time since 2008. I'm interested to see what Auburn does in college baseball. Tennessee, I mean, the SEC is really where it's at when it comes to college baseball as well. We also had some more NFL free agency news. I mean, we had the Washington Commanders signing former linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks, Bobby Wagner. The Raiders released Jimmy Garoppolo and Hunter Renfro. They actually saved $19 million in cap money. And the Tennessee Titans sign Calvin Ridley, a $92 million deal, and Kyle Rudolph. So Will Levis, who he's going to run the keys to this franchise, he's going to have some weapons. He's going to have Calvin Ridley. He's going to have DeAndre Hopkins. They lose Derrick Henry, but they get Tony Pollard. It's going to look a little bit different. But with the Titans signing Calvin Ridley, that means the Atlanta Falcons will get a second-round pick from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Joe Flacco signs a one-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts. I thought that the Browns were going to re-sign him. But that means that the Cleveland Browns are going to rely on Deshaun Watson not only to be healthy, but to lead the Browns to the playoffs. The expectations are the Browns have to go to the playoffs now because you got rid of Joe Flacco. Now you have Deshaun Watson. He's going to come back from that injury. You've added Jerry Jeudy. You got Amari Cooper. Nick Chubb is going to come back from injury. The Browns are going to look pretty good next year. And with all the free agency moves, and I know we're not done yet, they do have the latest mock draft. I'm going to actually pull this mock draft off of NFL.com. The Chicago Bears more than likely going to pick Caleb Williams. Washington's going to take Jaden Daniels. New England is going to take Drake May. There is no question that the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. Arizona expected to take Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver from Ohio State. The Chargers expected to take Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington. This is a surprise. The New York Giants with the number six pick, probably going to take a quarterback. How about the quarterback that impressed the most at the combine, J.J. McCarthy, as he was going to replace Daniel Jones? They need a playmaker quarterback. They just lost Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. The Giants are going to need a quarterback. Tennessee, if you want to protect Will Levis, you have got to get the best sure left tackle in the draft, Joe Alt, from Notre Dame. And now the Falcons with the number 8 pick. And I'm not shocked that every mock draft that I have looked at on the internet has got them taking the best edge rusher, Dallas Turner. Go get the player that is probably guaranteed to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, probably guaranteed to have double-digit sacks barring injury. And I think that Dallas Turner is a great fit for an Atlanta Falcons defense that's very underrated and could be a lot better. All right, the Bears own the number 9 pick. You went and got a quarterback. Now go get him another weapon. Malik Nabers, the wide receiver from LSU. And finally, the New York Jets with a number 10 pick. Look, Aaron Rodgers coming off an Achilles injury. I know I want to see Brock Bowers at this pick. But this mock draft, according to NFL.com, has got the Oregon State offensive tackle, Talese Fuega. Go get an offensive tackle because that's one area where the Jets struggled was at the O-line, and Aaron Rodgers out on the first play of the season, and he is going to come back from that Achilles injury. You know, the Jets got a good backup quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, and we'll see how the schedule plays out. All right, I saw this late last night, and I wanted to share this before I bring on Jay Krupp to the show. The GHSA schedule release is out. Thank you, Michael Buchanan, the play-by-play announcer for the LaGrange Grangers, for sharing this last night. I'm going to share some of the matchups that I cannot wait. Later on in shows, I will break down the entire GHSA schedule. I mean, how about this matchup? The Carver Tigers are going to be taking on Whitewater to start the season. That is absolutely incredible. And of course, they're going to take on Spencer in the Heritage Bowl. That is going to be a region game for the Carver Tigers. The Callaway Cavaliers are going to be taking on Opelika once again. That's going to be on August the 30th. Hardaway, they like to stack their schedule. I mean, they're taking on Jackson, Washington, Greenville, and then they get into region play where they will take on Carver on the 27th of September. Remember, every team in Columbus minus Northside is in the same region along with Sumter County. August the 30th, Carver's taking on Harris County. Carver taking on Northside on September the 13th. I've always wanted to see that matchup. You got Jordan that's going to be taking on Calvary Christian to start the season. I'm excited about that game as well. Columbus has got a tough schedule on the road. Miller County, Greenville, Randolph, Clay, and then the Shaw Raiders taking on Northside to start the season. And then they will take on Smith Station in Smith Station, Alabama, T.C. Britton Field, Panther Stadium. I've been there several times for some games from Georgia Alabama Sports Live. On August the 23rd, and remember, with the GHSA schedule, no more 7A teams. All the teams like Lowndes and Tift County, Colquitt County, they're all in 6A now. You got Carrollton. They are taking on Woodward Academy. They're in 6A. East Coweta taking on Sandy Creek on August the 16th. That's always a game that has been on the schedule for a long time now. Harris County has gone down to 4A. Their first game is going to be on the road. This used to be a rivalry game. On August the 16th, they are traveling to take on Manchester, who went to the state championship last year. Manchester's got a brand new head coach, DeMonta Prather. Talked about him a little bit on the show yesterday. And then the Northside Patriots taking on Shaw, Northgate, Monroe. I mean, they're taking on Mundy's Mill, Stars Mill. You know, Stars Mill is down in the same region with Harris County and Northside, just like it used to be. Stars Mill, they're taking on Northgate on August the 16th. And finally, the schedule for the teams out of Troup County. LaGrange, Troup County, and Callaway, they have had so much success over the last decade. And let's start with the LaGrange Grangers. They are going to be playing at the Corky Kell Classic on August the 14th at Kell High School. They are taking on Douglas of Atlanta. Then they will be taking on Early County on the road in a region game against Sandy Creek. And then back home against Trinity Christian on September the 5th. And they are taking on Whitewater, Troop County, Upson Lee. I mean, they got a pretty stacked schedule. Troop County in the same region with LaGrange. They are taking on Villa Rica on the road. Harris County, Whitewater, Mary Persons. And then they wrap up the season at Sandy Creek. Remember, Sandy Creek is a region game now for Troop County and LaGrange. And then the Callaway Cavaliers. We talked about them facing Opelika. They're now in a new region with some Macon teams. Pike County over in Zebulon. You got West Side of Macon. You got Rutland. You got Morgan County. I mean, they're facing Jackson. But they will take on Cass on August the 16th. And then they get a bye. They're taking on Opelika. Then Cook at Columbia, Redan, Pike County, West Side of Macon, Rutland, Jackson, and Morgan County. So that is the GHSA schedule in a nutshell. And also the private schools and the GIAA. They'll be releasing their schedule pretty soon as well. Remember, the Central Red Devils released their schedule earlier this year as they are taking on Pinson Valley on August the 23rd. And then on August the 30th, they are taking on Lutheran North. A game to put on the calendar, September 27th, they are taking on IMG Academy. Cannot wait for that game. They played IMG 2 years ago. That game was televised on ESPNU, and that is going to be great. Remember, Carvin Montgomery jumps to 7A this year. I mean, they'll face Smith Station in the backyard brawl on the 6th of September, Auburn on October the 4th. Remember, we're 2 months away from spring practices and the spring game. Cannot wait for that. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to have Columbus River Dragons forward general manager Jay Krupp. He's coming on the show. You don't want to go anywhere. It's the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
We are back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And on the show, I have got a fan favorite. He's one of the most recognizable hockey players in the Chattahoochee Valley. Please welcome to the show Columbus River Dragons forward and general manager, Jay Krupp. Jay, how have you been?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
I always appreciate it when you can take time out of your busy schedule to come on to the Sports Beat. I want to talk about the team
and how the team has really been gelling. They are the best team in the Federal Prospects Hockey League record-wise with 104 points, 31-4-3, and the next best team is the Binghamton Black Bears with 92 points. Let's talk about the goal at hand. You want to play your best going into the playoffs, which will start in April, but how important is it for the team to get home ice just because of the results from the last two seasons, losing playoff games in heartbreak fashion because you weren't able to get home ice?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, last year in our league, actually, we were the only team to win a game on the road in the first round. We beat Motor City 2-1, and that was a grind to win that game. So we were the only team out of all the games, playoff games, to win an away game. It's really important. I mean, obviously, our goal starting this season was to win the league and win and then obviously win the championship. And I mean, yeah, having home ice, you know, you're in your own bed, you're not traveling. You know, it's the Civic Center is a really tough place to play on the road. I mean, it's hot down here. Our fans are really into the game. They're loud. The boards are kind of lively. We know our boards where the bounces come off different, and it's really important to get home ice, and that is our goal. And right now the magic number is 10 wins, and we'll lock it up. Obviously Binghamton's, you know, knocking on the door, and they're a good hockey team, but if we stay to the course and play the way we should, you know, that cup's going to have to come through Columbus.
And you guys really put yourselves separate above the Carolina Thunderbirds after getting that victory. That right now they have got 88 points as they are in second place. The playoff format, I want to talk about the 1-2 playoff format, because I have been a criticizer of this. I'm not a fan of it. I don't know how you guys feel about having to play game one at home if the other team has home ice. But if they go to the 1-2 playoff format and you have home ice, you're going to play game one on the road, which I think that is important because that's playing with house money. I remember a couple years ago, you guys won game one against Danbury, and then you closed it out at the Civic Center. But are they going to go to the 1-2 playoff format where games two and three will be at home?
Yeah, it's looking, that's what it's looking like. And you know, we'll prepare for that. But you know, as far as that goes, you know, with the team that we have and the way Jerome has prepared us, you know, we have confidence, and you know, we'll get up there a day early, and you know, kind of get dialed in. Where, you know, regular season we kind of travel the night of the game, or the day of the game if it's not too far. And you know, so we'll get up there early, get settled in, and get a skate in, and you know, just be ready to go. And if we play the way that we have been all year, you know, go up on the road and win game one, and then come home, and they got to beat us twice on our rink, which is you know, again, it's hard to do. I think we've lost one game at home in overtime. Or it was in a shootout to Carolina. But so, yeah, obviously going on the road is tough. But, you know, I like where our team's at, and I think the guys do. And we're just working even harder now with this last month. I mean, our practices, we really starting to push the pace and really push each other as teammates. I think everybody here has one thing in mind, and that's, you know, that's to win the championship, and that's why we get guys from higher levels that want to play here in Columbus. Is, you know, we want to go out and win every year, and you know, we have been. Last year was the first year we didn't make the finals as a franchise, so that, you know, we had set the standard kind of right away here that it's we want to be in the last game of the year every year. And you know, that word's getting out, and guys want to be a part of that. We have great fans. We have a great facility, the Civic Center. We got great sponsors, people that support the team, and you know, it's a winning mentality here, and guys really want to be a part of this.
Jade, let's talk about the addition of Justin McDonald. This is a fantastic player. I've had the privilege of seeing him a couple times this season. I mean, he's putting up phenomenal numbers. 31 goals, 61 assists for 92 points, leading the team. Where did Justin come from, and how has he fit in to the team this year and really just buying into Coach Boom Boom Bouchard's system?
Yeah, so J-Mac was playing up in the SPHL. He was with Knoxville. I kind of caught wind that he was interested in playing here. So when I heard about that, I obviously got on the phone right away. This, you know, Justin McDonough was, he was the MVP of our league when Watertown beat us in the finals. And then he went to the SPHL and he was the MVP there. And, by the looks of it right now, I think, you know, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, he'll get that MVP award again 3 years in a row. But, you know, I think our biggest thing last year I think we needed to bring in some older guys, Carter Shinkarik, J-Mac. We had already had Petro Antonio, Dozer, Austin Doe, myself. So we really wanted to kind of change the culture in the locker room a little bit. And I think, you know, bringing J-Mac and Carter in is really what helped us, kind of get over that hump from last year. And, you know, we made a couple adjustments in the off seasons, this past off season. And, cause we had the skill, I think, we just needed to kind of, fix the culture a little bit. And we did that. And J-Mac was a huge part of the reason why. Obviously his skill and everything was a major plus, but, you know, I had heard the way he, kind of as being an older guy, how he leads and kind of demands things of the younger guys. And, adding him to the vets that we had here was a big help. But I mean, as far as play, he's a pro. He's ready to go every day, practice, games. He came here for one thing, and that's to win. He made that clear when we were trying to sign him. The thing about J-Mac is he makes guys around him better. There's a lot of guys in this league that do really well. Yanni Lyriakos is a good example. He's just got a lot of talent, but, J-Mac's got that talent, but he makes guys around him better. And, this is just a major pickup for us. Just the way he leads the younger guys and, it really is. It's a team effort, this year. It really is. Started with the older guys kind of, paving the path, and then you got to give the younger guys credit. I mean, we did a great job recruiting young guys that want to buy in. They want to get better. They want to move up and they want to win. And, it's just, everything's clicking and all on, yeah, everything's clicking right now. It's a great locker room. I've only been, I've been on some good hockey teams, won a couple championships. But this locker room is really special. And I think, if we just stay focused, we're going to do some special things here.
And Jay, one thing that's special about you is that you are a leader, not only on the ice, but you were also moved into the front office role as the general manager. But let's talk about your career, because this year you've had several milestones. You played in your 300th career game, and then you got your 100th career goal. Tell us what that moment felt like when you hit those milestones.
Oh, it was awesome. I'm just grateful to be able to play, be able to be a part of something like this still at 31, and just be surrounded by guys that, push you every day and want the best for you. It was pretty special moment for me. I've been with Josh Petrantonio for, we were together in Carolina before Columbus. We've been together 7 years. To have him assist the goal, kind of full circle. He's, been my best friend for 7 years, and it was really a special moment. And Dozer too, he got an assist, and him and I have been together for 5 years, and you know, to have both of those guys assist on my 100th goal was a really special moment. And then, you know, obviously all my teammates, just, you could just see how happy they were for me. It was awesome. And then to do it at home, you know, put the cherry on top, and just super grateful that, you know, I've been able to play at a high level for this long and be surrounded by people, amazing fans and teammates and coaches. And, you know, just really, yeah, honestly, all I can say is just, I'm just super, super grateful and blessed to be in the situation I'm in.
Well, Jay, we cannot say enough about you. You have been a fan favorite here in this Fountain City, and a lot of number 22 jerseys that come out and support the River Dragons at the Columbus Civic Center. Got a two-game series coming up this Saturday and Sunday, taking on the Baton Rouge Zydeco. And then next week, a three-game series against the Motor City Rockers. And a familiar face is going to come back to Columbus, the former general manager, Scott Brand. Jay, tell us a little bit about the impact that Scott Brand had on the franchise before he went on to Motor City.
Scott had a huge impact here in Columbus to get hockey going back here. You know, he you know, brought a lot to the table, a lot of energy. You know, people liked him, and you know, he really, really cared about you know, I think his thing is kind of going you know, city to city, spending some years there at each city and trying to basically get hockey back, if it was on the map, get it back on the map, or if they didn't have a team to make it, you know, a awesome franchise. And I can't say enough good things about Scott. He did a great job here. I can't thank him enough. And, you know, obviously he had taught me a lot of things as far as the front office and the way to treat people and handle things. And, you know, he's a great guy, and I can't wait to see him back here.
Absolutely, Jay. And really, let's talk about you as a player. And like you said, you're 31, still in the prime of your career. I mean, you still got plenty of years left. What is your long-term goals? Do you want to move into the front office full-time, or do you still want to play?
Right now, I am, you know, focusing on everything day by day. I love hockey, and you know, love the River Dragons, and you know, hockey's been my life. It brought you know, brought me to Columbus, which led to, you know, meeting Zoe, and then having our son Brooks. And I'm day by day right now focusing on, you know, winning the championship this year, and you know, we'll kind of see what the off season brings. I know I'm planning on being in Columbus for a while. So, you know, but just day by day right now.
Well, Jay, before I let you go, just talk about some of the things that you do off the ice. Clearly, you're out in the community. You give back to the community of Columbus. I mean, you had skating clinics, hockey camps. Just talk briefly about some of the things that you've got going on.
Yeah, you know, I really love, you know, going to any sort of event. I love, you know, I love to give back, reading the kids at schools. You know, we've done coat drives, but I'm really starting to try to dive into speaking to sport teams, high school teams around in the area. I know my pastor, Pastor Kevin at Landmark Church in Phoenix City, he's really helped me out, and you know, I like studying the Bible a lot now, and he's you know, so I'm kind of really starting to learn to tie things in with hockey and really to all athletes. You know, I've been cut before, been injured before, been through all that, so if I can pass, you know, a message along to kids and help them in any way I can, you know, that's really what I really love and I enjoy doing is helping younger kids, if they're going through a difficult time, or maybe they're not going through a difficult time and they just want to hear some, you know, some of the things that I've went through. I'm really starting to, yeah, speak to schools, and sport teams, and Pastor Kevin usually goes with me along to those, and And I really, really love love doing that. So I'm gonna try and keep doing, try to get out more and get more involved with that.
Well, Jay, you have truly been a role model to a lot of young, inspiring hockey players. Good luck the remainder of this season. And hopefully the Columbus River Dragons can hoist that Federal Prospects Commissioner's Cup trophy on home ice. And I know that is the goal. And you guys are having a fantastic season, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully next time we talk, I'll have the cup with me.
Absolutely. Definitely. We'll have to definitely get that on video.
We will.
All right, Columbus River Dragons forward general manager Jay Krupp. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, and we will be right back.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern Sports and Talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times best-selling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.